Now, last Friday, I caught up with Rosa Maddow. You might remember her. She used to do cooking courses with Pam Tobin. Rosa's been working with aged care residents of the Benny Aged Care Homes, and they've put together an exhibition. So she's been talking with residents about how we all age, from young to old, and how older people want to be and should be heard as their lives change. The exhibition features photos and the stories of some of the residents, staff and volunteers at Benny Aged Care Homes, and the stories written up by Rosa, photographed. The exhibition is free at the Migration Museum, and Rosa walked me through it, and here's what we talked about. Well, Rosa, how did it start?
Well, I volunteer at Benny Aged Care at various of their sites. Sometimes I would talk to the residents, and inevitably I came to realise we always talk about the past with old people. And that's sometimes not a country they want to be in very often. And I could see this fear on their faces, you know, when I said, and how many grandchildren do you have? And they, oh, wish you wouldn't ask me questions. So I said to Yuko, who is the marketing person, you know, we should write stories about what they're doing now, what gives them joy, because this began, if you can remember a time before COVID, but it began the year before COVID hit. I said, every time I go through here, I see faces full of joy. There are smiles, the staff feel relaxed and comfortable. Why don't we just pick a few people and do a little exhibition that we'll put down one of the corridors at one of the Benny sites. It's grown since then, obviously, but that's how it began. And so I already knew one of our storytellers, Giuseppe Cavuoto, and soon after we started the program, I went to Campbelltown, where he visits every day because his wife is a resident there, and he was making gnocchi. Mm. And I said, Giuseppe, what are you doing? And he said, please, Rosa, come and help us. We're making lunch. We started making gnocchi, and now we realize there's so many to make. And I said, but what are you doing? And he said, well, when I'm not running the choir or tombola, which is the Italian version of bingo, I make gnocchi, you know, we go out in the garden, we tell stories. Beautiful. And I thought, we don't concentrate on the positives. Mm-hmm. You know, we always think of aging as a waiting period. I see people that are just living life to the max. When we go through the exhibition, we'll meet Mrs. Mills, another one of our storytellers. Mm. She's 106.
Wow.
But she's 106, and we all go, oh, wow, wow. And I said to her, because she was born in 1914, she did not, as she points out, cause the First World War. And I said, but Mrs. Mills, you were there for the second as well. She said, a mere coincidence, my dear. But I said to her, Mrs. Mills, what is the greatest invention in your whole lifetime? And without hesitation, she said, the Kindle, because she reads every day when she's not doing her crosswords. Yes. And with the Kindle, she can make the font bigger and sort of dull the background. Right. So it's easier on her eyes. And I thought, this is fantastic.
And it's only recent.
Recent, yes. So she's embracing technology. Yeah. She's so amazingly with it. And she just kept us in stitches the whole time we were talking. Yes, it is. So here at the door is the statement from Benny, because this is the United Nations decade for healthy aging. And that's what we are celebrating, really. And then there's my statement, and Italo Vardaro, who is the extraordinary photographer, but he's more than a photographer. He seems to capture moments that tell stories in themselves. So you look at the photo and you go, why has he got that cheeky grin on his face? And then you read the story and you come to understand. Right. So it's been a marvellous creative team that's put it together.
All right.
Yeah, shall we go in?
Yes, absolutely.
What we wanted to achieve was a multi-layered event. So you could come in and just have a look at these extraordinary photos of people in the residents' homes. We have Roberta, the chef. So we've got some of the staff as well, because they...
Part of their lives, aren't
they? They're part of their lives, very important part of their lives. And as Louisa Broadstock said, she's the site manager at St. Clair, she said, we're trying to build a family here. And so the staff, the volunteers, they're all part of the family.
Community is important, isn't it?
Yes.
In keeping everyone together, whether it's actual family or an extended family, like in a home.
Yes.
Obviously very important.
It is important. Mrs. Fowler, who plays the organ, she's got a beautiful story, and she is as cheeky as they come, and she also had us in fits telling us stories, because she's been playing the organ since she was 10 and became the head organist at St. Margaret's at Woodville when she was only 15.
Wow.
And so now she brought a little small organ.
Portable one.
Yeah, portable one. She said, they said, why don't you take the big organ? And she said, oh no, that'll blow the roof off. Can't have that.
Although that quote, I mean, she...
Yes, I play loudly so the big man upstairs can hear me clearly. And then she finished off, she said, you know, she was talking about the big man upstairs. She said, oh, I'm sure he'd like me to play some more sedate sort of music, but I'm not ready for that yet. So she's marvellous.
I spotted Mrs. Mills.
Oh, that's Mrs. Mills.
That's Mrs. Mills.
She does not look 106.
No, she doesn't.
Now, when you read her story, it's beautiful, because I said, now what about that complexion? She's got such a flawless complexion. Oh, can you hear? That's Mrs. Fowler playing.
Beautiful.
So I was talking about the various levels. So just...
She plays beautifully.
Oh, she does. She's just terrific. Sometimes she gets carried away and she hits the height and ramps it up. But you could come in and just look at the photos, and they're beautiful in themselves. Then you could stay a little while and just read the excerpts here. You could listen to their voices, because that was one of the things I was really keen to do. Halfway through the project, I felt that we were always talking for them. So I was telling their story the way they told me. The doctors talked for them, the carers, the family. And I said, I want to hear their voices, because they're so beautiful and distinctive. And so we set up this tape. Just from my phone, because we hadn't intended when we began that we'd use the audio. So it's a bit rough and ready, but I think it captures their spirit, if nothing else. And then on the way out, you can buy a book. So we've got the whole... We've got it covered. We're right into merch.
And there's a video playing as well, so people can sit and watch too.
Yes, that's right, because that was all part of... Well, the video is actually just a stills of their photos, again, because we weren't expecting it to become quite as big deal as it is.
What was the experience of the people you spoke with after you'd spoken with them? Had they unlocked memories? Had they gone back into their past? Were they happy? Were they sad?
Well,
emotions?
There were a lot of emotions stirred up. Most of them couldn't believe I was interested.
Really?
Yeah, Mrs. Mills, 106, she said, but I've lived such an insignificant life. And Mrs. Fowler said, oh, you know, I could make myself available. And then, of course, as you can see, we put a little bit of makeup on and changed her shirt, and she looks really quite the movie star.
She does, totally. Who's the chap over here?
This is... Oh, he's our star. He's Mr. Cavuoto. He's the one who visits his dear wife, Tina, every day, because he goes to visit from 10 o'clock until 3 every single day, doesn't miss. And of course, he's such an urbane, gregarious person, he used to get bored.
Uh-huh.
But they were sitting in the dining room, and over a week or so, a woman called Erminia, sadly no longer with us, but she would just start to sing some of those really ancient Italian songs that I remember from my grandparents, and she would start to sing, and Mr. Cavorto would move over and start singing, and then gradually everyone in the dining room who, you know, knew, remembered the songs, yeah, started singing. Now, remember, some of them were non-verbal. They had Alzheimer's, advanced state, but they could remember the words of the songs. And so Mr. Cavorto said to the staff, can we start a choir? And they did, and then they had someone commission those gowns, those bright blue choir gowns. Now they sing every single day. They sing before lunch, and then they play bingo or tombola. They might in the afternoon do a word game, and it's just a marvellous thing.
He looks very dapper with his suit and tie. He must dress up like that every day,
every
I'm guessing.
Day. Yeah? Every day, because he had no idea we were coming to take photos, and they had to scrabble around and find the choir gowns, because I said, oh, I'd love to see them in there, because they're such an intense blue.
Yeah, yeah.
But that lady's face is just so marvellous. There is a woman who just they always finish with her, and she makes up a song.
Mm.
So she might be remembering times in when she was a girl, and they were planting the wheat, and then they had the harvest, and she just puts it to music.
Beautiful.
Yes.
That's lovely.
So, yeah.
Do you think overall it's had an impact on their lives? Has it left them feeling better,
yes,
about where they are, the fact they've lived such a long life?
Yes.
That somebody cares, perhaps?
Yes, and also because we wanted to hear the story. I think sometimes the family go, oh, Mama, you know, not that story again. And I had never heard them, and so I was thrilled to hear them. And if I can tell you Mrs. Zudnik's story over there.
Yes.
Mrs. Zudnik, when she was only 18, with her two younger sisters, had to flee from Slovenia. And they crossed the border at night. They slept during the day, but they could hear gunshots and the soldiers shouting. I used to interrupt herself and say, do you want to hear the... I'd say, yes, please, I'm in awe. I was crying at some points because it was so sad. But when they crossed the border, they went to a refugee camp in Italy, because at that time, you know, 1950s, 56, 58, there were a lot of displaced Italians, ethnic Italians, in that area. There, they met a young boy called Elio. Now, 60 years later, Mrs. Zudnik is at the Slovenian Club in Dudley Park, and she looks up and she sees this familiar face, and he's staring at her and she at him, but they don't say anything. Then in the car on the way home, her son-in-law, David, says, Mama, do you know Elio? And she said, no, is it really him? So now he meets with her every week. He goes to her little unit and he takes fruit and vegetables from his garden. So after 60 years, they've reconnected.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. And her story, because she saw me cry, I wasn't, you know, howling or anything,
no.
But I just had tears in my eyes as she told me all these really sad stories. So she wanted to protect me, you know. She thought, oh, poor girl, you know, she's a bit fragile. And I said to her, so you've had a very hard life, Mrs. Zudnik. And she said, yes, I have. She said, but I choose to be happy.
You might tear up a little bit.
I know, but it is so, and she said, I could be sad, but I choose to be happy. Isn't that extraordinary? And see over here, oh look, I could talk about these gorgeous people.
Well, tell me.
These beautiful women, that's Seconda Ferretti on our left,
yes,
and Maria Dal Santo on our right. Now, when they were girls, they worked together at the Findon Hotel.
Oh.
And they lost track a little bit with each other. Now they found each other at Bene St. Clair, and they're always together. Sometimes they don't feel like talking, so they just sit there and hold hands. But they're always together. It's just such a beautiful story, because Seconda, that means second in Italian, as you know, she was one of twins.
born second, a few minutes after her sister Rita.
That's the name.
Yeah, very imaginative.
Yes.
She said, so I'm always the second. She said, but now I'm 2 years older than Maria. She's just a baby. She's only 88.
Oh, beautiful.
And they are such, you know, the stories of resilience.
Yes.
Is extraordinary. With lesser people, I think they'd give up. But these people are not waiting. They're making things happen. Have we got time for one more story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Come and meet.
Yes.
Nello.
Okay.
Now, Nello is, look at him. You know, he knew we were coming, and we wanted him in the garden. But no, he's got his beautiful Hugo Boss suit on and his striped tie. He said, I'm reborn here as a gardener. Now, he was a bricklayer, but he went to Bene, St. Clair, because his wife was there. He wasn't actually ready to go, but he missed her so much that he thought, well, if they've got a room next to hers, I'll go. And so they've got several little courtyard gardens, and he's planted tomatoes.
Beautiful.
Tomatoes, flowers, because where they lived in Leslie Street, just in the next couple of streets, his wife, Angela, would like a bunch of flowers inside. So he still plants all those beautiful flowers. But we just had such fun because I said, now, do you think we can make enough sauce to make sugo for our pasta? And he said, well, not this year, dear, but if you come next year, we'll make some. Now, his brother was visiting from Naples on the day that we visited, and they laughed. They cried a bit because he was leaving in a couple of days' time. And it was just a very precious moment that I won't forget, because it was such an intimate moment. Mm. And his brother said, who knows if we'll see each other again. And it was just very moving, just very moving. But that they wanted to share that with us.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Rosa, well done. Mm. Well done on
yes.
this. This is magnificent. You've captured these people in their lives, in their later years.
Mm.
And looking at the photos, looking at...
look at Mrs. Fowler.
Mrs. Fowler smiling so broadly on the screen as we're facing it now. You know, that's the joy, I think, they're feeling as a result of what you've done. So well done on this. This is open 7 days a week, right through till, I think, the end of June.
Yes,
right?
I know. They've given us, an extended period.
Mm.
So I hope that lots of people will come, especially because there's such bad news coming from the Commission on the Ageing. And not that this was ever meant to be a counterpoint, but it is. Mm. But more than that, it shines a light on everything that we do for older people. And we've always got to be accountable. But we've got to allow them to live their best life, because this is now their home. Everyone wants their home to be precious and safe.
Indeed. Mm. This is on at the Migration Museum till the end of June. Free entry. Come and have a look. Rosa Maddow, thank you so much for your
pleasure.
Time.
It's been a pleasure.